Well, this morning I am going to be continuing a series that I've been preaching through for the last 10 years. That's true. The life and ministry of Jesus, which has been a chronological study of the four gospel accounts, the accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. And we're coming to the end of this series. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the final post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. But before we look at our text for today, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, I want us to look at a short passage in the letter to the Philippians that summarizes who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. So why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Or you can flip into your silenced electronic device. Notice the emphasis on silenced. To Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. This is a powerful passage. The purpose of this passage is to encourage Christians to humility. You know this if you read verses 1 through 4. And then Paul uses Jesus as the penultimate example of one who has humbled himself. Let me read these verses to us and then we'll unpack them a bit. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you proclaim him as your Lord or not, he is Lord. Amen? So Paul here is telling us who this Jesus is, and in a very condensed way, what Jesus did. I want to look back at verses 6 and 7, where Paul tells us that Jesus was in the form of God. Form there means essence. He existed as God. And of course we know this from John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, or had been God, had always been God, and always will be. So he existed in the form of God, and then he goes on to say that he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Equality with God. There's nothing that's equal to God except God. So if Jesus has equality with God the Father, then he himself has to be God. But he didn't think that that was something to be grasped or held on to. Instead, verse 7, he made himself nothing, or emptied himself, depending on your translation, by taking the form of a servant, the essence of a servant, the essence of humanity, and being made in the likeness, or born in the likeness of men. And so, Paul is telling us that Jesus is God. No question, has always been God, will always be God. But that Jesus voluntarily took on humanity, becoming the Son of Man, both God and man. Make no mistake, Jesus was fully human as you and I are. That's what Paul is telling us. Fully human. Look at verse 8. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. How did God highly exalt Jesus? Well, we've already learned about that. Through the resurrection, through his ascension into heaven, and through his enthronement on the very throne of God. Now, I want to go back to verse 7. This idea of made himself nothing, emptied himself. What does this mean? What did he empty of himself? Well, there's three things that we see very clearly in Scripture that Jesus set aside for his time as a human being. He set aside his heavenly glory, that glory which he had always had with the Father. We get just a glimpse of that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? God gives his closest disciples just a glimpse of Jesus' glory as he's transfigured. But for the most part, Jesus set that aside. It was veiled in his humanity. Number two, he set aside his divine authority and put himself under submission to the Father, always doing the Father's will, not his own. He fully submitted himself to the Father as a human man. And he also set aside the independent exercise of his divine attributes. Jesus did not operate as a man in the power of his divinity. Ever. He depended wholly upon the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working in him and through him. All of his miracles, all of his prophecies, all of his teaching was done in the power of the Holy Spirit, not his own intrinsic divine power. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been living as a man. And he did, as a human being. And that's vital for us to understand what Jesus accomplished, and especially the passage we're about to look at. Jesus was and is God, but he humbled himself, becoming fully human, to accomplish his mission as the second Adam. Keep this in mind as we turn to our text, Matthew 28:16-20. Go ahead and turn there, if you are not already. And I want to look a little more deeply into this great commission that was given by Jesus to his followers on a mountain in Galilee. Let me read the text to you again. Again, because I preached on this text 2 weeks ago. Verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As I mentioned, 2 weeks ago, I preached an introduction and overview of this passage. In that sermon, I touched upon three parts of this passage. Number one, the authority of the commission. Number two, the focus of the commission. And number three, the means of carrying out the commission. And over the next couple of weeks, today and the next 2 Sundays, we will look more closely at each of these parts of this passage and how they come together, commissioning us as followers of Jesus. And it begins with the authority of the commission, the authority of the Great Commission. Now, often we hear verses 19 and 20 quoted as the Great Commission without reference to verse 18. But Jesus starts with this declaration contained in verse 18 for a reason. The simple fact is this, that fulfilling the Great Commission would be impossible if it were not for the fact that Jesus has the authority to ensure the success of his followers accomplishing his will. Let me say that again. The simple fact is this, that fulfilling the Great Commission would be impossible if it were not for the fact that Jesus has the authority to ensure the success of his followers accomplishing his will. I want to look more closely at this declaration of authority given by Jesus to his followers. And I think you're going to learn something a little amazing in this. Let me read verse 18 again. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's interesting, in the original Greek, the phrase "has been given to me" occurs first. And so I want to start there. So the first thing I want us to see in here is that all authority was given to Jesus. All authority given to Jesus. Now on the surface, this statement might seem odd to us. We may have expected Jesus to say, "All authority in heaven and on earth has always been mine since I am God and the creator of all things." But that's not what Jesus says. Instead, he states that this authority has been given to him now by someone else. Note that. This is an amazing statement coming from the second person of the Trinity, the one who existed before all things, the one who John tells us created all things. Why would he have to be given authority? Well, right away we realize, after a few moments of reflection, that he cannot be speaking here about the inherent authority that he has always had over all of creation by virtue of being the creator of all that is. As God, he can't be given authority because as God, he possesses all authority intrinsically. Amen? So, what is Jesus referring to here? This is speaking of the authority now given for the first time to a human being. Let that soak in for just a minute. He is a human being, fully God, but fully man. Jesus is the first human being to live a perfect life of obedience, to do what Adam failed to do. Jesus is the first human being raised in a glorified body. No human being prior had received the glorified body that Jesus was now appearing in, giving this great commission. And Jesus is the first human being given divine authority, and will be the first Son of Man who will ascend to the throne of God. There is a human being seated on the throne of God in heaven. Praise God. Because this has huge implications for us. Jesus, the God-man, in His glorified human body, is given by the Father all authority. He is given what He did not have before His death, burial, and resurrection. He is given the authority to send His disciples to the nations over which He now has absolute authority and right to rule. A related incident in the Gospel of Luke will help us to see this. I want you to recall that one of the three temptations that Satan brought to Jesus was to take Him up to a high place where He could see all the kingdoms of the world. Let me read that to you. It's in Luke chapter 4. Listen to what Luke writes. And the devil took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to Him, this is Satan speaking to Jesus, to You I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to Me, and I give it to whom I will. If You then will worship Me, it will all be Yours. And Jesus answered Him, it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Isn't it interesting that Satan said to Jesus that He possessed the nations as His own, that they had been delivered to Him, and that He would give this authority to rule the nations to whom I will? If You then will worship Me, it will all be Yours. So Satan offers authority over the nations to Jesus. Now, if it were not true that Satan had authority over the nations, and instead it were true that Jesus already possessed this authority, certainly Jesus would have challenged Satan on his offer. He would have exposed that what Satan was offering was a lie. But He does not. He does not challenge the legitimacy of the offer. Note that. Instead, He challenges the terms of the offer. He refuses to worship Satan and receive what had already been promised to Him by His Father as a reward for accomplishing the work that He had been sent to do. He did not yet have that authority as the God-man, because He had not yet completed His work as the God-man. Satan offered to Jesus a shortcut to the very authority that Jesus had come to secure through His active obedience to the Father and through His passive suffering on the cross. That was the path designed by God for Jesus, the God-man, to receive all glory in heaven and on earth. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He succeeded where Adam had failed. Remember this. Adam had been given all authority to reign over the earth as God's image bearer. But he abdicated that authority as a result of his sin. Jesus was born as the second Adam. And he succeeded through a life of perfect obedience to the Father in once again securing all authority in heaven and on earth. Glory be to Jesus Christ our Lord. So as the risen Messiah, who has purchased the nations or people groups with His shed blood, He receives full authority over them to bring into His kingdom all of those that the Father has given to Him. All authority given to Jesus. Second, note this, It is all authority. Underlining all. The all here describes the extent of the authority given to Jesus. And Jesus teaches his followers that this authority extends to heaven and to earth. Jesus is given all authority over all the inhabitants of heaven, over all the inhabitants of earth, both natural and supernatural. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. As soon as I turn to it. You have it on the board. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and given him as head over all things. Apostle Paul's making it pretty clear by the repetition of all that he has authority over all things. He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So we see here what we've already seen in other passages, including the passages that Pastor Don read during our worship set. The Father is in the highest position of authority, and he grants to his raised and exalted Son the place of second in command at his right hand. And from that exalted position, the God-man exercises absolute authority over everything created, both now and forevermore. This authority is delegated to the messianic God-man, the second Adam, the greater son of David. Authority second only to the Father himself. There's another passage that speaks to this. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just remind you of what Paul says here in this passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28. We'll have part of this up on the screen. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, that is Adam, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What a promise that is, amen? All who are in Christ, all who have put their faith and trust in him, all who have been joined with him in union, all who are now branches attached to the vine, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things into subjection under his feet. All. But when it says all things are put into subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, Paul makes it very, very clear here that the one thing that is not placed into subjection under the Son is the Father. The Father has and always will have first place in all things. All authority has been given to Jesus. So suffice it to say then that Scripture uniformly teaches, and I didn't share all of the passages, there are more, but suffice it to say, Scripture uniformly teaches that the exalted Son who sits at the right hand of the Father has been given all authority by the Father to rule over the affairs of man and over all the forces of darkness. This is how Jesus can confidently proclaim, quote, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," unquote. Jesus can proclaim that because he has all authority. Not only on earth, but in heaven. Not only of natural things, but of all the supernatural forces of darkness as well. He's Lord. So, when Jesus prefaces the Great Commission with this statement of his authority, it makes the commission both an imperative and possible to fulfill. It is an imperative because it is a commission given to us by the one who has all authority. Our Lord has told us to do something. Does he have the authority to command us? Absolutely. So it's an imperative. And he has the absolute right to command us to do his will. But it also assures us that it is possible for us to be successful in carrying out this commission because Jesus has all authority. He's in command of all things. He has authority over his followers. He has authority over their enemies. He has authority over all the demonic forces. He has the authority over all circumstances. So whom shall we fear? Who will resist God? Who will prevent God from accomplishing his purposes? Who can prevent the gospel from going forth? Not Satan. He's been bound and cast into the pit by Christ to prevent him from deceiving the nations, to prevent him from stopping the gospel going forth. His church is being built by him, and no one and nothing can stand in his way. No one, no thing, no power, nothing can stop God from accomplishing his will in heaven and on earth. That is amazing, amen? What then should be our response? I'm glad you asked that question. The response should be, go, therefore, and make disciples. Remember, whenever we see therefore, we look to see what it's there for. And what it's there for is a back, again, looking at verse 18, saying, Jesus has all authority to command you. Jesus has all authority to make sure you're successful in what he's commanded you to do. So, therefore, go! Understanding what Christ has accomplished, understanding the power and authority he has been given, understanding that he is ruling and reigning over all the affairs of man, understanding that he has promised to be with you and in you always, go! Go and make disciples. Do not wait. Do not cower in fear at the task you've been given. Do not let yourself be overwhelmed by the opposition. And there will be opposition. Jesus also promised that. In the world, you will have tribulation. Oh, wonder what a promise that is to us, huh? But let's not forget the second half. That he has overcome the world. He being a human being has overcome the world, been glorified, and been seated on the throne in heaven. Do you think he knows what we're facing? Do you think he knows what our limitations are? He was made like us so that we could become like him. Amazing. Amazing. Go and make disciples. Go in the power and authority of Christ. Go and be his witnesses. Go and be his lights in this present darkness. And it's getting darker. It is. No question. No question. This country has departed from God. And God is allowing it to slide into deeper and deeper and deeper darkness. And you know what happens as it gets darker? His lights will show brighter than ever before. Go and be his lights. Go and proclaim the gospel to all mankind, to all the ethnos, to all the people groups. You may not be able to go to Africa or India or China, but guess what? Only 2% of the population in Sonoma County attend church regularly. 98% do not. The fields are ripe unto harvest. But we must go into those fields. And we must proclaim the gospel to all mankind. The gospel is not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We had a debt we could not pay. So he paid a debt he did not owe. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures in a glorified body as the God-man and ascended into heaven where he sits on the Father's throne. We have been given a great commission. How will they hear? Unless someone goes and proclaims to them the glorious gospel of grace and salvation through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. How are they going to know that unless we tell them? So Jesus says, go and make disciples. Not in your own power and not by your own authority. But in the power and authority of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has deputized us. He has given us his authority to do this. And through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have the power to accomplish this. And he promises that he will be with us always to the end of this age. In other words, until he returns again in glory, he will be with us. Praise be to God. Go, make disciples. Next Sunday we'll look at that verse 19. the focus of the commission and what that means, both to be a disciple and to make disciples. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning for us to sit under the preaching of your